Man, we're thankful for the love of God and His presence here among us today. And I don't know about you, but I've been excited about being together and being with you this morning. Not only was I excited, but several of my neighbors were very excited about today. They stayed up very late last night. They were shooting off fireworks in anticipation of our gathering here today. And so we praise the Lord. We praise the Lord for what He's doing in our neighborhoods. Amen. Amen. Oh, am I not the only one that's got neighbors celebrating? Amen. Amen. Oh, goodness. On that note, Lord bless you. Now, we've been in this series the last few weeks that I began with 2 weeks ago, and I was connecting Pentecost and what Peter preached. As Peter preached at Pentecost, he was sharing scripture from the Old Testament prophet Joel, and in that, many of you know that the old men would dream dreams and young men would see visions. And we began at that point, but we've been in the book of Isaiah these last few weeks, and in a few moments we'll be in Isaiah again, once again. But before we get to Isaiah, I wanted to ask a question and have you think about something this morning. I wanted to ask if anybody here is guilty of pushing boundaries. Anybody here guilty of pushing boundaries? Now, I'm not necessarily talking about negative things or destructive things. I'll give you an example. A couple days ago, I went for a run, and it was late in the afternoon. It was fairly hot and humid, and Bob actually, he was worried about me. Thankful for Bob looking out for me, but those of you who know when it's hot and humid and you go for a run, it's kind of dangerous, and so in some ways when I when I go for a run and it's hot and humid, I like to push the boundaries, and yet I know where my line is. I know where my limit is. I know that line that I shouldn't cross. I know the difference between being really hot and heat exhaustion. But sometimes we live our lives that way. We go as far as we can go. We push against boundaries. We might even go right up to the boundary line, the one that we know we shouldn't cross. And then sometimes we even push a little bit more. Maybe this is a better example because not everybody here is a runner. Anybody here ever argue with a loved one? Anybody here ever gotten in an argument with a family member? And think about how those arguments go. Again, I'm kind of confessing here this morning. Maybe I'm the only one, but sometimes in a really good argument, I'll use my wife as an example, right? Sometimes in a really good argument, I begin to press and press, and I know where that line is, right? We've been married almost 14 years, right? Almost 14 years. I know where the line is, and yet sometimes, if I'm on a roll, I press and I push and I begin to cross that boundary line. And sometimes I don't even mean to do it. It's just out of habit. I'm just exercising my stubbornness. These days, though, we see a lot of people who appear to be pushing the boundaries. And in some cases, it's needed. In some cases, it's a God-given burden that the Holy Spirit has impressed upon certain folks to cry out or to push against the boundaries. But other times, it's our selfishness or our self-preservation that pushes us. So how should it work for those of us who are Christ followers today? Is there a pushing boundaries for those who are in Christ? I think we'll see this morning that yes, there is, but it might not be what you're thinking. So I want us to begin in Isaiah, and before we read the word, you remember last week, if you were with us or you watched online last week, we saw how God revealed to Isaiah that God was going to do a new thing. Right at the beginning of Isaiah 11, we have this beautiful picture. A shoot will come up out of the stump of Jesse, and from its roots, a branch will bear fruit. And we know that God fulfilled that promise through the coming of Jesus into our world. Jesus has come. He has transformed our world. Jesus has come, and He is transforming our world. How is He transforming the world today? Well, some people push against boundaries because they are seeking a better future. Right? That makes sense. If someone is struggling or someone is living in poverty, they're going to seek a better future. And in our world today, there are a lot of people who are feeling hopeless. Like there's nothing else they can do. Like there's no place to go. Like they've tried everything else. And so now what can they do? But I want us to see together this morning that we can actually get a glimpse into how things are supposed to be. And we can have a glimpse into the future. Or at least what it's supposed to be like. So I want us to listen closely today because all of us are a part of this. So let's look at Isaiah 11. We're going to continue where we left off. Isaiah 11, beginning in verse 6. God is giving to Isaiah a beautiful vision. And in verse 6, he says, the wolf, and I almost have to stop and correct myself because I'm from Wisconsin, and I grew up with a wolf and wolves. But this says wolf. That's how you pronounce it, right? The wolf. The wolf will lie down with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den. And the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. God was indeed going to do a new thing, and he was letting Isaiah in. He was giving him the picture of what was to come. And Jesus did come. And when Jesus came, everything did change. Jesus came and he brought the kingdom of heaven to earth, as we sang in our songs already this morning. This kingdom, his kingdom, is a kingdom of peace. Now, Isaiah is receiving this word from the Lord. And previously, if you were to go back and read in Isaiah, you know, previously, he's already been told that the Assyrians were going to come against them. He's already been told that the Israelites are going to be judged. And he's been told, as you know from last week, that the same Assyrians that come against them and take over are going to be lopped off. They're going to be chopped down. And that this shoot would come from the stump of Jesse. And Isaiah is receiving all of this. In his mind, what is he thinking? Is he thinking, wow, this sounds impossible because this is not at all what I'm seeing. And here we are this morning in Marshalltown, Iowa, with all that is happening in our world. And once again, we receive this vision, this picture of the kingdom. And in some ways, we might say this seems impossible to us, right? A kingdom of peace. A place where the curse is removed between humanity and animals. A place where enemies live together, eat together, and play together. A place where fear and danger no longer exist. So what does all this mean? It means that all of the destructive forces we see in our world will be gone. Verse 9 says, "Nothing will hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain." Nothing will hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. How is that going to happen? Well, God gives us some insight. He says it'll happen as the knowledge of the Lord covers the earth as the waters of the sea. Meaning it will be complete. It will be a global kingdom reaching every person and place. But none of it will happen until that day. Right? As Isaiah is hearing this. It says, in that day when a shoot would burst forth out of that stump, when the new branch would come bearing fruit, and that day only comes with Jesus. This is the direction that everything is going. And so if you and I aren't seeing this peace and living this peace and experiencing this peace, then we must begin to ask ourselves, what are we missing? Who is this Jesus? In that day, verse 10 says, in that day the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for all peoples. The nations will rally to him. This is Jesus. And his resting place will be glorious. His resting place. The place where he dwells will be glorious. Praise God. It will be glorious. This is the future. And although Isaiah was not seeing it, it was coming. It was God's promise. And if we're not seeing it yet, it's coming. It's God's promise. That's why we can trust God today. We can trust him with every situation. We can trust him with our future, with our families. We can actually trust him with what's happening in our world, our communities, and our nation. Like, I don't have to have all the answers. I can actually trust the Lord during this season. I don't know if you've seen that yet on Facebook. Maybe that's not out there yet. We can trust the Lord during this season. God does not abandon his people. God does not abandon his people. Instead, he delivers us. He delivers us from oppression. He delivers us from sin, and he makes the way for us. And there is coming a kingdom of peace that is already here and not yet fully realized. A place where bears and cows eat together, and I don't, you know, sometimes we read this vision and do we take this literally or not, but it is a picture of peace. I'd like to take it literally because I'd like to see it. I mean, if I'm honest, I'd like to see it. A place where bears and cows eat together and the lion eats straw like the ox, and a place where children play with snakes. And some of you are like, yes, God, I was with you all the way up to the snake part, but this is the picture. This is the picture he has given us. But most importantly, it's a place where no one will do evil against another. Jesus has come and reordered creation. And in this kingdom, he is king. He is the banner. Some of your translations might say he is the standard, or if you've got a really old translation, it might say he is the ensign. Like, he is the standard bearer for us. He's the banner. That's why we lift high the name of Jesus. Isaiah tells us all people will rally to him. They'll rally to Jesus. So if we're not lifting high the name of Jesus and living for Jesus, then we're not going to draw anybody. Because we're not being faithful and lifting high the name of Jesus. So let us push on some boundaries today. What if you and I chose to live in the freedom of this promise right now? Right? God keeps showing us, this is not the only place, God keeps showing us in his word this picture of the kingdom of peace, a place where people care for one another, where the poor and needy are heard and taken care of, a place of harmony between all of God's creation. Now, I'm not naive. I know that the world isn't like this yet, but that's why New Testament writers like John would write in 1 John 2, don't be like the world. And Jesus would say to his disciples, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. And then Jesus would say in John 14, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Jesus is our standard today, and nothing less will do. Nothing less than Jesus will do. So even if the world remains at times a dangerous place, we've been given this word, this promise, and we've been given his spirit, and now he's sending us out to push the boundaries, to take this message, this promise, the gospel, the good news, and to take it to all of creation, to the ends of the earth. This is what Jesus is asking of us. right? He's our banner. He's the gathering, the rallying point for all people. He's the captain of our salvation. So the boundaries that we push are the boundaries of the gospel. It's the people and places who have not yet heard or received the good news. And sometimes we're deceived in thinking that it's only in islands out there somewhere in the South Pacific or remote jungle tribes that have not yet heard. But that is so far from the truth, because I have neighbors. Some of them might have even shot off fireworks last night, but I have neighbors who have not yet heard or received the good news of the gospel. And so if we're going to push boundaries, we're going to push out into our neighborhoods and out into the world to share the good news of the gospel. A few weeks ago, maybe a couple of months ago during the quarantine, I preached from Matthew chapter 24. And in Matthew 24, Jesus gives us another picture. It's a vision of what is to come. But in Matthew 24, we're also given this word. So in Matthew 24, verses 9 through 14, we see these words. Jesus says, "You will be hated all over the world because you are my followers. Many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. Many false prophets will appear and will deceive many people. Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold." Can I pause for a moment and just say to us, like, this is already all happening? Like, let's not be naive once again. This is all happening. But Jesus says in verse 13, "But the one who endures to the end will be saved." And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it. And then the end will come. Now, you might say that's too much. It's too much to handle. It's too big of a responsibility. But I want us to be encouraged today, because there's a whole generation of people who recognize the day in which we're living, who have a fire and a passion burning within who they are to take this good news that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that salvation is found through Jesus, that freedom is found through Jesus. There's a whole generation of people who are taking this word and they are running with it. They're laying their lives down, and they consider it a great honor and privilege to carry the good news. They consider their life nothing. In fact, it's an honor to die for the Lord. And yet sometimes, if I'm honest, I struggle with approaching someone that I see that the Lord is stirring my heart to go and approach or pray for. What is all that about? Maybe you're like me and you have that struggle. But I want to remind us this morning of what God said in Isaiah. That when Jesus came, the Spirit would rest upon him. So if Jesus needed the Spirit, I'm guessing that you and I need the Spirit. The Spirit would come and rest upon Jesus. And in Isaiah 11:10, it says, "His resting place will be glorious." And now, because of the day that we live in, God has come to dwell not just among us, but within us. And if the Spirit of God is residing in us, dwelling in you and I, then he is glorious. His presence in us is glorious. And if you have been found in Christ, if your sins have been forgiven, if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, then I want to say to you that you are glorious. This is not me just saying, trying to like cheer you up and make you feel good. This is what the Word says. Jesus is coming for a pure and spotless bride. Friends, that's the church. He sees you and I as beautiful, as glorious, because we're filled with him. We're filled with him. So when we have this struggle to love on others, to serve him, to go forth, let us be reminded and encouraged that we are not going in our own strength. We're not going out and stepping out in our own faith. We're infilled and empowered by his very presence, the Holy Spirit. So Jesus wants to send us out with the glorious reality of his kingdom, working, not striving, but working out that reality here and now, allowing God to reign and rule in our lives, in his church, and sharing the reality of his peaceful kingdom, the kingdom that he is establishing. The church, we, you and I, we should be a model of how to do community together. And we should only be pushing when the Spirit is pushing, never leaving his rest. And that's where sometimes we get into trouble. We push, or we move into places that God isn't leading us or pushing us into. The call is to enter into his rest. You remember back a couple of weeks ago to the first week of this series, when we read from Isaiah chapter 2, that many peoples shall come and say, let us go to the mountain of the Lord. Why? So that he may teach us his ways. Friends, we need him to teach us and lead us. So we don't just push ahead on our own, pushing our own boundaries, but instead with him we can be like the psalmist who declares these words to us in Psalm 16. I want to read these words in Psalm 16, beginning in verse 5. The psalmist, this is David, he says, Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful ones see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. So I don't know where you are at today. Maybe you're tired from pushing. Or maybe you're tired of being pushed against. And maybe it's the enemy that's pushing against you. Maybe it's all of the noise and the influences that you've allowed into your life. But many of us feel like we're just in this battle of pushing and being pushed against. So I want us, together with everything that we are, I want us to rest in the glorious one who is Jesus. I want us to trust in his power and his presence and agree with him that yes, yes, we will go where he is sending us. We'll leave this place and we'll recognize that Jesus himself said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And so Jesus, he's looking for those faithful ones who will be workers, because the harvest is ripe, it's ready. And I just think people are going to be much more receptive to the Lord than we realize. And all we have to do is think back to our own journey and what God has done in and through us. That is what people are missing. So will you join him this morning as Jesus is ushering in his kingdom? I'm going to invite Pastor Al to close us in prayer, and we're going to sing our opening song as our closing song. And perhaps as we sing this song once again, these words will be even more powerful as a reminder as we're sent out from this place. So I invite the worship team to come and Pastor Al to come lead us in prayer, and then we'll sing together.
I think if anything that this pandemic has taught us more again that the building is not the church. We don't go to church. We are the church. And if that's true, then we should not have any problem finding helpers and wanting to be a part, because what we are is we don't have to tell them, we live it. In the book of James, why is that so important? I don't believe it just because it's in the Bible in the New Testament. That's good. It's good that it's there. But who's James? James is the brother of Jesus, right? James is the brother of Jesus. And if you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there is no James, because he didn't believe his brother was the Son of God. He didn't believe he could heal. He didn't believe he could live it. But then he saw his brother on the cross, and then he saw his brother on Monday morning having breakfast with him after he died. And if you can predict your own death and resurrection and have breakfast with your brother, he might believe that maybe this guy can heal. Jesus. It's not just because in the Bible that you said if anyone's sick and anyone among us, we could just come. But it's because you are the resurrected Christ. And you're having breakfast with us on Monday morning. You're alive. And because you live, we can face our tomorrows. Lord, sometimes I just have to turn the news off for a minute and begin to realize, as I sat here this morning as Pastor was preaching, there's peace in this room. Is this peace going to just stay in this building? No. The peace that passes all understanding is going to come and live through us. And so would you do that this week? When we leave this room, 6 feet apart from each other and wearing our mask, some of us. And we hear the news. Would we realize that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world? And today we leave here because of what Pastor has just preached, that we are the church and that there's power in and through us. And God, you've got some great days ahead for Marshalltown Nazarene Church. And those that are watching this by the computer, someday we'll be all back together in this building in corporate worship, but that's not the church. We are going to be the church this week, and we're excited about that. I wish it was faster. As I watched a trail talk this week and walked along with Pastor, and he talked about patience. James was saying, patience. Really? Hurry up. Lord, you're so slow. Do you really understand what's going on here in Marshalltown and in the United States and in the world? Do you really understand? And because you do, can you help us to put our trust in you and allow us to be the church that you want and the power of God through us? And as we sing this song that we sang at the beginning, would you allow it to do something? Would you realize that you're our audience? And as we mouth it and we sing it, even though we may not know it real well, we're going to shout, and the joyful noise will be our strength today. We believe that. In Jesus' precious name, amen. God bless you.